bad.
Are you happy?
Are you happy
that's what you got out of Mike Giardi?
I am happy, yes. I'm a very happy host one here on WEEI Afternoon Show. It's Christian Arcan. No Andy Hart. He had to leave. So you got me for the next 30 minutes or so. After the show is over, we're going to have an hour of Boomer and Valenti because we're contractually obligated to play that every week. And then, Boston College taking on Louisville right here on these airwaves. Keep it here on WEEI all day and night. And make sure you don't miss any of the action here as BC trying to bounce back after a couple of tough losses against a very tough Louisville team. So this might not be the week they turn it around. A win today, though, would be a big one for them, for the Eagles, and get them back on track. I'd love to see it. I'm not feeling great about it, but I guess we'll all find out together here later on tonight. Anyway, 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's go to the phones, talk to Jay in Woburn. Go ahead, Jay. Oh, Jay.
Hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey, guys. Not too bad. I got a little gripe about the way things are going. Everyone's blaming Gerard Mayo, the offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. You know, that's all fine and dandy, but these guys are professionals. You know, listen to me. They've been through Pop Warner, high school, college. They're professionals. They're giving up on plays. They're not doing what they're supposed to do. Blame the players, not the coaches, guys. You know, come on.
Okay, Jay, I'm perfectly happy to blame the players. I've been blaming players for all sorts of stuff here. I've been blaming every single wide receiver in that room for B playing like crap for the most part, and then B spouting off about it in the media after that, and then being told by Evan Lazar, oh, no, actually, that's not what they meant. You're taking them out of context, which, again, very, very interesting. I'm so mystified by that because you're not talking about unnamed sources, anonymous sources. You're going into the locker room or you're writing your story, and there's an anonymous source saying that KJ Osborne wants to get traded. It's nothing like that. Really, I mean, what you're seeing here, what we've been seeing, are these wide receivers seeking out the media and being very, or going on social media for that matter, and saying these exact same things. I have no idea what people are trying to say is getting taken out of context here. And whenever anyone gets pressed on it, like Mayo or Van Pelt or whoever, they can't really give you a good answer. Well, what got taken out of context exactly? I'm not going to go back over all that, but let me just tell you that that's not exactly what he meant. It's not. He called it an alley-oop. Do you want to get traded, KJ? Ah, come on, it's an alley-oop. How else could you possibly take that? An alley-oop is when someone throws the ball up in the air for someone else to dunk, right? You're setting me up for a dunk. Do you want to get traded? Nah, come on. It's an alley-oop. I don't want to dunk. I don't want to dunk that one home. That means, yes, I do want to get traded. That's exactly what that means. Come on. Even if you're just, you know, if it's like a total hypothetical, just slang, whatever. We all know what you meant. Kayshawn Booty talking about I have to go and demand the ball, and these coaches, no one knows how to give me the ball or draw up a play for me unless I call for it, unless I demand it. How else are you supposed to take that? That's what I don't understand. That's what I'm confused about when it comes to Lazar and his gripe there. And maybe he meant something else. I mean, listen, there's any number of different reporters that you could be talking about. Chris Mason and Giardi were talking with KJ Osborne. Mark Daniels, I think, was the one who had the interview with Kayshawn Booty. Demario Douglas was talking to the media earlier before. He was saying the same sort of stuff. I need the ball more. You got to give me the ball more. At what point does the context, you can't really make that argument anymore when it's been going on all year with these guys. It's been going on all year with all these, Jalen Polk, it's been going on with all of them. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, it's just a ridiculous thing, especially from the guy who I think right now, Evan Lazar should be doing victory laps. Evan Lazar should be like, see, what did I tell you? What did I tell you about the mutiny? You guys all doubted me. You told me not to say it. You said I was exaggerating. Jacoby Brissett, you said I'm an idiot. Don't I have any idea what I'm talking about? Looks like I was right, doesn't it? Looks like maybe I was onto something there, doesn't it? Kind of like with Kern and that whole thing with Belichick last year. I mean, people called Tommy Kern everything in the world other than a man of God after he came out with his report that the Crafts were thinking about firing Belichick at the end of the season after that Germany game and that they were planning on doing that. People lost it on Tommy Kern. Fans, other members of the media, national guy, I can't believe you'd come out there and just say that. What reckless reporting. I can't believe this. You'd go back to journalism school, blah, 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 blah. You ask Kern, he'll tell you. People were saying all sorts of things about him, and he was right. He was right. Lazar was right, and now he's made this 180. He's gone the complete other direction. Instead of reveling in the fact that he actually got this thing and had it nailed completely, Now all of a sudden he's carrying the water for these wide receivers, saying, "Oh, no, that's not what they meant." You're taking them out of context. You're going in there with an agenda. You're doing this. You're doing that. Yeah, right. An agenda. The agenda that they're feeding into, that they're gladly feeding it. They're very happy to feed into this agenda. It's very, very weird. But I got to say, I love it, and I hope it goes on all season long, and I hope that the participants in this media beef continue talking to us and throwing shots at each other on these airwaves, because I'll tell you what, that has made my day, my Friday, much more enjoyable than it would have been
otherwise.
You're
literally in the corner on like a recliner with the popcorn being like, yeah, keep going.
I mean,
keep
basically,
fighting
yeah.
with each other.
That onion thing with like the sickos in the window going, yeah, yeah, like that's me. I'm the sicko. That's exactly what's going on here, and I couldn't be happier.
The standard right. like cartoon villain in that big chair with a cat
twirling
yes,
my mustache. Yes,
yes,
right, exactly. Ah, perfect, exactly how I want it. All right, the only thing that makes me happier than media people all yelling at each other is hitting some bets. So let's get to our picks for week 7. I don't believe, did Andy give you picks? Did he give you anything?
He did not submit anything, so I guess I'm going to represent him and
all right, fine.
Try and get you back in this race by giving you a bunch of losers.
Sounds good to me. All right, let's get to him here. Without any further ado, week 8 picks for the Patriots and beyond. How did we do last week, first of all, Jim?
I would say Hart did very, very well. He got all but one of the games
wow.
wrong, and the only one he got wrong was the Patriots. So he went for 7-1 on that week. And
that's
you,
pretty good. I thought I had a good week.
You, Arcan, only three wins.
That's it?
Yeah. You had the ones you got right were Buffalo -9.5.
Mm-hmm.
Then you had the Bengals -6, got that over Cleveland. And then the last one you got were the Eagles -3.5.
Which ones did I get wrong?
You got the Vikings wrong, -1.5. Lions won by 2.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yep. And then the Atlanta got blown out
Atlanta
by Seattle.
Atlanta got smoked, that's true, yeah. I don't know what
then,
I was thinking there.
Then the Niners -1.5.
They lost.
The
them.
Jets -1.5 and the Patriots.
I thought I picked against the Jets.
I have here Jets -1.5 for you.
I'm pretty sure I picked against the Jets.
Oh, you know what? I flipped it. I read that completely wrong. You had the great week. Hart had the bad week. So you had the 7 wins.
I had 7 wins.
Yeah, you had 7. I read it wrong.
I was like, what are you talking about? I thought I did good last week.
Yeah, that's
like I made money last
yeah,
week.
That's on,
I was like, I think I did okay.
No, that's on me. You went 7-1.
I went 7-1. All right, now can you now that we've established that, can you read the picks that I got right, please? Because now that I know I was 7-1,
yes.
I was very
yeah.
hesitant to give Hart any props there, and I'm glad I was.
Yeah,
I went 7-1.
Yeah,
all right, let me
mistake.
Have them.
You had the Lions +1.5.
Yes.
You had the Buffalo -9.5.
Right.
Bengals -6, Seattle +3, Eagles -3.5, the Chiefs +1.5, and you had the Steelers +1.5.
Okay, very good.
And the only one you got wrong was the Patriots.
It was the Patriots. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, I don't know why I picked the Patriots, but I did. Okay, so there you go. 7-1. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good week, I'd say. That's actionable. That's how you make some money on gambling if you want to tail these. Let's go ahead. What do we have for picks for this week?
Let's take a look at the schedule.
Can we get a little music, a little NFL Films music or something? Is that possible to
yeah,
do?
Yeah, I can.
I know you're in charge of all this. I should have probably asked before the segment started.
Yeah, why don't we start with this one right here while I get the music set up. The Eagles at the Bengals. Right now the line favors Cincy. -2.5.
Eagles and the Bengals. I think I like the Eagles here. I know the game's in Cincinnati. I think that 2.5 points is an interesting sort of starting point right there, and that the Bengals have looked better lately, but that's usually, with the Bengals in particular, you know, they look good in a division game. They look good against the Giants. They almost beat the Ravens, but for some reason, I just think the Eagles are going to be a favorable matchup for them. I know the Eagles aren't anybody's favorite right now. They did win last week, but I don't know. Something's pulling me in that direction. It just sort of seems like on the road or not, whatever, they're coming off a couple of wins, too. Are the Eagles just beat the same two teams? I think that may be. I think the Eagles
just beat the Giants
and the Browns, too, right?
Yeah, Giants and Browns in consecutive weeks.
So these are two teams that are riding kind of high after beating up on the dregs of the league. I'm going to go with the Eagles +2.5 on the road. I don't feel comfortable laying the points there with the Bengals. So, yeah, give me Philadelphia.
This one is tricky for me, too, because these are two teams that are definitely lower on the expectation chart than what we thought they would be. I feel like somehow the Bengals are just going to come out and they're going to have a really good game. I think it'll be a high scoring, but I think I'm going to go with Cincy here on this one.
Okay.
I think I like the Bengals on this bet.
All right. Very good.
Moving on to our next game on the docket. How about a little matchup in the NFC South? Again, Falcons favored by 2.5 going to Tampa against the Buccaneers.
I'm surprised that they're favored in this game because I feel like the Bucs have been playing well lately. I think that they're a team that I kind of look at a little bit more favorably. They did just lose to Baltimore, but they scored a lot of points in that game, and they had just come off a blowout win over the Saints. When they played the Falcons the first time, I think the Falcons beat them in Atlanta. So I'm going to go ahead and take Tampa here. I think Tampa at home plus 2.5. I like a home dog anyway. Give me Tampa.
See, I don't know about that. They just lost Mike Evans. They just lost Chris Godwin.
Oh, that's true.
I think Tampa's going to be all over the place, so I think I'm going to take Atlanta in this one.
I forgot about those injuries. That's a good point.
Yeah, it's okay. There's Trey Palmer and Jalen McMillan for
Baker
Mayfield.
That's true. But really, it's Bucky Irving, who I like the most. I like that kid a lot. I liked him at Oregon, and I like him a lot on that team. I'll still go with the home dog. Give me Tampa plus 2.5.
Okay, let's go to a little bit of a bigger spread here. We'll go to the Titans and the Lions. The Lions are at home, and they're favored by 11.5.
There's a couple of big spreads like this on the board this week. I forget what the other one is, but there's another 11.5 point spread.
Ravens are favored by 8.5.
I think
Cleveland.
Denver, Carolina, is that in the 11s? I think that's up there too. I think that's double digits.
It's a plus 10.5 right now against Carolina.
So I guess it's moved a little bit since I last checked, but still double digits for the Broncos is crazy. I don't think it's crazy for Detroit though. I'm going to go ahead and lay the points here with Detroit. I think that's an easy 2-score win. They made mincemeat out of the Dallas Cowboys in Dallas. I think they can certainly handle Will Levis and the Titans in Detroit. So, yeah, give me Detroit and the points.
I am right there with you. Lions are too good of an offense. Let's go to another game. Another big spread here that we just talked about. How about the Chiefs and the Raiders, the team debut for DeAndre Hopkins? The Chiefs are favored by 9.5.
That's a big line for them. As bad as the Raiders are, the Chiefs just don't blow anybody out, I don't think. They have been winning by the skin of their teeth. This may be a get-right game for Patrick Mahomes, though. I could see that being the case. I could see Patrick Mahomes being like, all right, I haven't been good lately, but this is the freaking Raiders, guys. Come on. Let's go out there and do it. Hopkins there, I think, will give him a boost, just like Cooper gave Josh Allen a boost. Not so much with Adams and Rodgers, but I think you can see that maybe with Kansas City. So,
it's hard to go against Kansas City.
It's hard to go against them in like a pick 'em.
Yeah.
9.5, though, it's a lot of points. I'll give it to them anyway.
They usually own the Raiders, too, so that's why I think I'm pretty confident with giving the Chiefs 9.5.
They do, and yeah, I do think there's a lot to be said. Like, I don't think Mahomes is going to be this bad all year, so if he goes out there and has kind of an FU game, they could win by 9.5, I think.
Yeah, I'd agree there. How about a little closer spread here? The Bills and the Seahawks. Buffalo, heading to Seattle, are favored by 3.
Okay, that's a tough one. I'll go with Buffalo here because I like them a little bit better than Seattle, but it's in Seattle. It's just, I did say I like a home dog, but I don't know if I'm going to apply that to the Seahawks here. They've been a little shaky lately. I feel like Buffalo's back on the upswing since they brought in Cooper. I'm going to go ahead and take Buffalo on the points here.
I think it's going to be a little bit closer, so I think Buffalo's going to win, but I don't think they're going to cover. I think this is going to be a last-second sort of heroic kind of thing. So I think I'll take Seattle with the points to cover, but they're not going to win the game.
Seattle did just bounce back last week against Atlanta, I want to say, right? Yeah, that was a game I picked.
Yeah, and the minute you start doubting Seattle and Geno Smith, they're going to turn it right around.
I know, but I feel the same way about Josh Allen. Like, they lost a few games in a row. You started to doubt them, and then they picked it back up against Tennessee and the Jets, in fairness. But still, I'm still a little more bullish on Buffalo, I guess.
Yeah, I'll agree with you there. How about the Sunday night matchup? Two teams desperately in need of a win, the Cowboys and the Niners. San Francisco at home, favored by 3.5. Both teams could really use a win.
They both certainly could. 3.5, you said? The last one I saw was at 4, which I guess is basically the same. I'm going to take Dallas here. I know that's a controversial pick, but I feel like it's there. It could be a get-right game for them. I don't love what I'm seeing from the Niners lately. I think that, you know, talent-wise, the Niners may be slightly ahead of Dallas when it comes to just on-paper talent, but not by that much. That was an ugly loss to the Chiefs. They had an ugly loss to the Cardinals a couple weeks ago. Yeah, give me Dallas here to at the very least keep it within 4 points. I think that's doable. Even if they lose, I don't think it's going to be my more in the field goal.
I think the key, too, is the bye week. They're coming off the bye week. Yeah. Niners are kind of, they're banged up. They just lost Brandon Ayuk. They basically got a walking medical tent for a roster right now. I think I still feel confident, though, in taking the Niners in this one. And then let's go to the game we have the rooting interest in, the Patriots and the Jets. The current line favors the Jets by 7.
Yeah, I'm going with the Jets here. I think that the Patriots and Drake May, you may surprise people. You may see him bring them a little bit closer, but I think when it comes down to it, this defense isn't good enough. There's too much chaos going on. I think that this wide receiver thing is not going to be helpful for Drake May and his progression. I think this is going to be the first week where you see it start to take a toll a little bit. You know, guys demanding the ball, maybe someone throwing a fit on the field because the pass wasn't there because May didn't see him or whatever it may be. And if they're losing, I don't think that this is the type of team that's going to be able to dig deep and fight back and get into the game. So I think once it starts to get off the rails, it's going to continue that way. Mayo hasn't shown that he's able to coach them back into a game. So I think I'm going with the Jets and the points here, despite them being a road favorite. And I know I'm going against all my principles that I usually go by here, but I don't know. It's been a bad week for the Patriots. I don't think that's suddenly going to change on Sunday.
You know what? I'm trying to not be the optimistic one, but it's the Jets. It's the GD Jets and Aaron Rodgers. I know they're much more talented, but I think they can at least cover the spread because I think the Jets are going to, at some point, vomit on themselves. They're going to get in their own way, even though they have all this talent. So I think the Patriots, I'm not going to say they're going to win, but I think they can cover the spread of 7.
Well, we'll see. I mean, you saw that first game, right, where they only scored 3 points. And I know that was with Jacoby Brissett and everything, and that can make a big difference here. I'm not saying that it won't. But I saw a Jets offense that was operating about as well as it has all season long against your defense in New Jersey, in fairness. But,
and if
this
it's wrong,
be...
I'll have no guilt because this is technically Andy's pick.
That's true. So, yeah, all the stuff that's happening right now, all these picks that you're making are not going to stick to you at all. They'll just go right into the pot there for Andy, who's reeling after getting smoked by me in a 7-1 pick. What a week. I knew I did well, but 7-1, that's pretty good. All right, there you go. There's some picks for week 8. We're going to take a break here, come back and wrap things up next with This Week in Social Media, #TWISM.